Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning, Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs 28:13. One passage of Scripture, and then we'll look at Psalm 51. So Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sin or sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." He who covers his sin will not prosper, but he whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come into your house and just worship you. And Lord, everyone's here and every one of us have needs in our life. Lord, we all have problems. We all have things in our life that are displeasing to you. Lord, I pray that you'd open this passage of Scripture to our hearts today. Show us those things that we need to get rid of. And Lord, that we might come before you with pure hearts, clean hearts. And Lord, that we might just truly have revival in our life and in this church. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. He who covers his sins shall not prosper. And then in Psalm 51, we have a man called David. And David covered his sins. And I want us to look at his life and let the Lord look at our life to see today if we are covering something in our life. Because if we are, we're not going to prosper. The Bible tells us when we're saved, when we ask Christ to come into our life, we need to repent. That means we need to turn from our sins and turn towards God. Repentance is always us turning from something and turning to something. We turn away from our walk towards Satan and the earth and the flesh, and we start walking towards Christ. We start living towards Christ. It's a change of mind. It's a change of attitude. It's a change where God literally changes us. Now, God says his people sometimes, even after they've are saved, they come to know Christ, they get on the wrong path, and we start living our life on the wrong path again. Well, when we do, the Bible says we need to get back on the right path. And David was such a man. He loved God. God used him mightily. He loved to go to the house of God. He loved to come and worship God. He loved to sing praises to God. And that may be you. I know I love to hear a choir like that sing, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Man, David loved all these things. But you know his story. He got on the wrong path. He got his eyes off of Jesus Christ, and he got him on the wicked ways of the world. And instead of turning from his sin, he tried to cover them up. Now, we all know that on a day that he committed adultery with Bathsheba, her husband Uriah was a soldier in David's army. He tried to cover up his sin of adultery by sending him to the front line and having him killed. And it looked like David was just a good king. He took this man's wife in as one of his. And he was going to take care of Uriah's wife. But he wouldn't admit his sin. And that's what the problem is. He's tried to cover his sin up. And the Bible says when we try to cover up our sin, we will not prosper. And David was not going to prosper as a person. He was not going to prosper as a king. Nothing was going to go right in his life as long as he tried to cover his sin. Now, David was a believer. He had entered into a covenant relationship with God. And so many times that is our life. We believe. We put our faith in Christ. We get back out into the world and we do something that's displeasing to God. And instead of getting on our knees before God and confessing our sin to God, we say, oh, well, we'll just cover this up. No one will ever know. And I say to you, God knows. God knows everything that you do. And he says when you sin, he says we need to confess that sin and get that sin right with him that he may bless you. You see, if we stay on the wrong path, if we keep going down the wrong path, we get further and further away from God. Someone said last night, we was talking, and they said, well, you know, when we used to go to church and we got out of church. Let me tell you something. When you get out of church and you stay out of church for a while, it becomes a habit in your life. And the longer we stay out of church, as long as we do that, we cannot really please God. He wants us to love him and put him first. And when we try to stay away from God, our lives begin to get dark. That light that we once had with Christ goes out. And the clouds of guilt come upon our life. And that beautiful relationship that we once had with God, that flame is gone. And we wonder, oh Lord, where did it go? It wasn't God who moved, was it? No, David moved. When he covered his sin, it soiled his soul. Listen to what he says in Psalm 51. Here's his life. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin or iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in my inward parts, and in my hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast Spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You see, David had covered his sin, and he says, Lord, have mercy on me, because I have soiled my soul. Blot out my transgressions. He's crying out to God, isn't he? Lord, blot out those sins. I can't stand the life I'm living, Lord. Wash me clean. Take the dirty and the filthy away from my life. Listen, if we cover our sin, it will soil our soul until we feel like there's nothing left inside us. Remember, he said, Lord, my bones wax old. I ache all the day long. He was hurting from the sin in his life. He knew that he had covered it up, and he knew that he wasn't right with God. He knew that he had taken the wrong path. One of the ways that you and I know that we are a Christian is what we do with our sin. Now, folks, do you love sin? No, I don't love sin. Do I sin? Yes. But I hate it, and I confess it before God. An unsaved person doesn't hate it. He loves it. He likes to go to it like a hog to a waller. A saved person hates it and wants to get his life right with God. Now, how do you feel about sin in your life? You see, whether you love it or whether you hate it tells me a lot about whether you're a child of God or not. What are you going to do? Are you going to cover it up? It will soil your spirit. It will soil your soul. King David has a, boy, he had it all. He had, I went over to Israel, and it's amazing what they had back in those days. We saw marble tubs. We saw tile floors. I didn't even think they invented tile back then, but they had it. David had that marble tub, I can imagine. He had that hot water and people to bring it to him. He had the silk sheets to lie in at night. He had the perfumes and the oils. He had all those things that a man would want. And yet every morning when he got up and he looked in the mirror, he saw he was dirty. And he saw that no amount of water could take that filth out of his life. It was there. Only God could clean him from the inside out. His soul now cried out to God. When we sin, we know it, folks. When we sin against God, we know it. If you are a Christian, somebody said, well, you know, it doesn't bother me sometimes to go here and go there. And I'm wondering, yeah, are you saved? It bothers me when I do something wrong against God. You see, sin soils us. Not only that, sin saturates the mind. Over and over, David relives that experience in his life of yielding to that temptation and adultery. Over and over, he relives that guilt of knowing, I killed an innocent man. How can you not realize that? Over and over, he lays down at night, and the things that come into his mind are those things of darkness that have soiled his soul and now are ever on his mind what he's done wrong. Even when his eyes are closed, the guilt is there. About years ago, when I was a kid, when I went out and did something wrong, you know what? I thought, well, I got by with that. I'd go home and I'd wonder when Dad said, come here. Did he find out? You know, that's in your mind, isn't it? Are you wondering, when is he going to find out? When is that time that he's going to call me, and instead of saying something, he's going to say, hey, what did you do the other night? All that sin is always there. That guilt is always there. Over and over, that sin had saturated in David's mind, and there was no place to hide. You see, a man who covers his sin, the Bible says, soils his soul, and it saturates his mind, and he will not prosper. I wonder today sometimes why our churches are not prospering, why they're not reaching the people for Christ, why they're not growing, why they're having so many problems in the churches. And let me tell you, it's because there's people in our churches that have soiled their soul with sin so much it's saturated their minds and they're away from God. And until we get our lives right with God, we're not going to have revival. He says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. Folks, that's what we have to do. Come to Christ, confess our sin. You see, sin not only saturates our mind, who is it against? The Bible says all sin is against God, and it shames the Lord. Look at verse 4. Against you, Lord, you only have I sinned. A saved man feels bad about his sin because of what it does to the Lord. Did you know that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is right inside of you once you accept Him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says He seals you with His Spirit. In other words, He gives you His Spirit. And there's two natures inside of you, that old nature and that spiritual nature. God's Spirit lives inside of you. And when you sin, you sin against God. And you grieve the Spirit of God. And a saved man cannot sin without grieving God's Spirit. And therefore, you know that you sinned. An unsaved man, he feels bad about what sin does, but he's not sorry for it. He may be sorry that he got caught, but he's not sorry for sinning. And therefore, that's the difference. An unsaved man worries about his reputation. But let me tell you something. A saved man worries about God's reputation in his life. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. When I used to go wayward and did something wayward, it wasn't about my reputation so much. I was afraid I would drag my father's name through the mud. And I didn't want to do that. Today, when I sin, or when we sin, we drag our Lord's name through the mud. It bothers me to see Christians living unholy lives because of what it's doing to our Lord's name. David is thinking, Lord, I'm the leader of a great group of people that you've given to me. Lord, I'm a man after your own heart, yet I brought ridicule to your name. Listen, when we try to cover our sins, we might think it's covered, but people know, don't they? Covered sin brings shame to God. We may try to deny it, but it's true. Covered sin soils our soul. It saturates our minds with all kinds of guilt, and it shames our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have sin in your life, come to Christ, confess your sin, and the Bible says He will forgive you of that sin. And He'll pick you up, put you back on the right path, and get you going. Not only that, the Bible says in verse 8, look at what it says, make me hear joy and gladness. Oh, sin, when we have sin in our life, it suppresses our heart. We lose the gladness that we once had in Christ. David said, Lord, I've lost the joy of my salvation. Now let me say, I don't want you to think you can lose your salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy that he once had. Have you ever lost that joy? I have. I've lost the joy. Oh man, I tell you what, I said, Lord, I don't want to lose that joy. I want that joy back. I remember when I walked with you on a daily basis, when I fellowshiped with you on a daily basis. Lord, I want the joy of my salvation back in my life. In other words, I want that sweet fellowship that I once had with you back in my life. The most miserable person in the world is the one who knows he's saved, and yet they're out of fellowship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think back. Get your thinking caps on. If you're not happy in church, if you're not living for God, where was the point in your life where you left Him? Go to that point and say, Lord, I'm so ashamed of the testimony that I've had. Lord, today, I want you to renew that spirit within me. I want the joy of my salvation back, you see. Sin causes people to lose that joy. I've had people say, you know what, I need to change churches. I've lost the joy of my salvation. I've had people say, well, preacher, I need to change classes. Bible study group, I've lost the joy in that class. Maybe it's you who need to change and get back with the right relationship with God. Because you know what? I have been to every class. I've been to a lot of churches. And usually it's not the church, it's me. Think about it. So many times it's you and I, isn't it? The only reason you don't have joy is sin in your life. Now listen, joy is something that doesn't depend on our circumstances. You see, I can be sick. I can be in a hospital bed. I can be in a dark valley of the shadow of death and still have joy. Think about Paul. He was in prison. He was down there. Their prisons weren't like ours today. They didn't have color TV and pool tables and everything else. They had cold chains, irons, no food hardly, roaches, rats, stinky dungeons. And yet Paul said, you know what? Even in the dungeon, I can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always in the Lord. Joy has to do with your relationship with Christ. And if you've lost the joy, something's happened to that relationship with Christ that you once had. It's not a relationship with the preacher. It's not a relationship with the church. It's not a relationship with a Sunday school teacher. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, have you lost that joy? You see, sin suppresses the heart. Now, let's go back over it. Soils the soul, saturates the mind, shames the Lord, and suppresses the heart. Sin causes sickness in the body. Now, David's bones weren't literally broken, but he says, this guilt that I'm under, Lord, it's like a big weight. It's crushing me. The guilt of life is crushing me. The weight of sin makes my body feel sick. Now, all people who are sick are not sick because of sin. Let me say that. But let me tell you, some people, when they try to cover up their sins, the guilt can make them physically sick. Think about it. Worry, depression, bitterness. Boy, those things eat away at us, don't they? How many nights have I slept worrying? Well, there's not too many nights that I have slept worrying. When I worry, I don't sleep. I usually sit up in a chair and think about, Lord, what in the world is wrong with me? What have I done wrong? And it's usually some sin of unbelief. You see, the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And you know what? I quit worrying about this church. I quit worrying about the finances because that's God's job. I'm just supposed to preach the word and be in season or out of season, whether you're happy with it or not. Just preach the word. That's what he says. But when we don't, when we have sin in our life, it sickens our body. And look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. It sours the spirit in our life. David found himself blaming everybody else for his sin, and he had created a critical spirit in his life. You see, we often want to blame somebody else for our misery, don't we? We all want to say, preacher, you know, I'd be better if it wasn't for that person over there. Or if it wasn't for this person over here saying this, you know, preacher, and it's just the same old rut and the same old critical spirit. You know what? People are always critical and judgmental when they try to cover up their sin. I heard about a man who got real mad at the preacher. He come to the preacher, well, he come first to the music director, and he chewed on the music director for a while, and he couldn't get no satisfaction there, so he went to the preacher, and he chewed on the preacher for a while, and he said, listen, I don't know, but I was up to church the other day, I opened the closet, and there was five brand new brooms there in that closet. We don't need five brand new brooms in our closet. That is a waste of God's money. Preacher went to the financial man and said, listen, old so-and-so's mad because there's five new brooms in the closet. And he said, we don't need to be wasting God's money on five new brooms. And the guy said, let me tell you something. It's probably because he found out for the last 5 years his tithe brought those five new brooms. You see, that's the way we are, isn't it? We always want to be critical and judgmental, and the problem is we have sin in our lives. And then last thing, 14 and 15. Look at 14 and 15. I didn't even read them, but I'm going to look at them. Deliver me from the guilt of my bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. What has happened to David? What has happened here? What is he praying for? He's lost his testimony. His testimony is silent. Why do people not witness? Because of unconfessed sin. Covered sin will keep you from wanting to praise the Lord. You know why people don't come to church a lot of times? Because they don't want to be confronted with their sin. I've had people say, preacher, every time I come to church, you beat me to death. I don't know what you've done, but God does. And he says, you know, you get your life right with the word. That's what David said, Lord, your word is killing me. Would you deliver me, O God of my salvation? He said, Lord, if you'll deliver me from my blood guiltiness, my tongue will once again sing your praises. Just get your life right. Now, let's look at the cleansing of covered sin. He has confidence that God is a forgiving God. Look what he says in Psalm 51:1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. God is forgiving God. You know, if we confess our sin, the Bible says God will forgive. Did you know that he loves you? It doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. He wants your life to be right with him. You're valuable to God. After all, he gave his only begotten son for your life. And if you're faithful to forgive, he says, hey, Lord, if you'll confess, he said, I'll be faithful to forgive. There must be confession. He says, listen, Lord, I acknowledge my transgressions in verse 3. And when we acknowledge our transgressions, and we quit blaming everyone else. He said, Lord, it's my sin and my guilt. There's cleansing. God says, if you'll do that, I'll cleanse you. I'll wash you thoroughly. I looked at David's life. David was a man after God's own heart. And I thought to myself, God, why did you put this in here? For an example to us, I believe. If God will forgive these sins, murder, adultery, he will forgive any sin that you've committed. Think about it. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash them as white as snow. You want to know how to get your life back on track? If your life is not on track today, I hope it is. I hope you're on the right path. I hope you're on the right path to success and happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not on the right path, all you have to do is, like David, turn from your wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal your land. You could say your life. God wants you to have an abundant life. He wants you to have joy. He don't want you to have a soiled soul. He don't want your mind saturated with guilt. He don't want your heart soiled. He wants you to have the joy of the Christian life. And all that takes is asking. You know what David asked him? And God picked him up, put him back on the right path. Man, he was a friend of God. Are you on the right path today? If not, we're going to give an invitation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you've got to get on the right path to start your race. All you have to do is say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I know that your son died for me on the cross, and the blood of Calvary covers my sin. I accept that gift of salvation right now, and come down and let me know that. He says, if you'll acknowledge that before me, and I'll acknowledge you before my Father. That's just that simple. And you can start living for Christ. If you're already saved, but your life is not where it should be, all you have to do is stand right there where you're at. I'd like for you to come down and kneel at the altar. Some told me, well, preacher, I can't. My legs are not good anymore. All you have to do is say, Lord, I acknowledge that I'm not on the right path. Would you forgive me and let me get on the right path? And you know what that takes, don't you? It means you're going to repent. You're going to turn around and start doing what you know that you should be doing all along, serving God completely. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your loving kindness, for your mercy that endures, for your grace that is sufficient. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit has convicted our hearts, our souls, and Lord, that we might get our lives right, that we might have revival. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.